So Danielle, how did it come about that you were chosen to perform with this troupe?
I was in the newspaper not long ago for Gold Coast City Ballet, and I put down that I was hearing impaired in the newspaper article. And then this Chinese troupe saw the newspaper article and then they gave me a call, and yeah, it all happened.
So just out of the blue, they saw you in another article and just rang you up?
Yep, pretty much.
And what did you say when they called you?
I was just like, wow, yeah, I'd love to perform in your performance. It would be such a great experience, and yeah.
So you've just mentioned that they saw the article about you being a hearing impaired dancer. How does that disadvantage you when it comes to dancing?
Well, I don't know, I just can't hear the music as well as normal people, and it's just difficult for me. And because I've only got half and half hearing in both ears, and I wear two hearing aids, and yeah, I just feel it through the floor, I reckon. I've been doing it since I was 5, so I guess I've found a way.
So is that how you overcome it? You feel the music rather than listening?
Yeah, pretty much. That's how I do it.
That's incredible. So do you think that starting at a young age helped because you learnt it that way rather than being thrown in the deep end later on?
Yeah, definitely. That really helped me because you learn rhythms as through different grades, yeah.
So with this troupe, you're going to be sharing the stage with 50 other disabled artists when you perform at QPAC, and all these people have overcome varied disabilities and become world-class performers. I imagine when you're in a room with all of these people, it could be pretty inspiring, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. Like, just seeing what they're doing. Some people have no arms, no legs, and I'm just like, wow, it just amazes me how they actually do it. I just can't wait to meet them and just be really good.
So the troupe themselves, they're not just ballet, are they? They're a mix of a lot of things, aren't they?
Yeah, they do acrobatics and like ballet and all this different stuff. It's just like a mix, and it's just really amazing.
So this My Dream performance, what can audiences expect from it?
Yeah, they'll just acrobatics and stuff. They just see an amazing performance, pretty much. It's just going to be amazing.
And so your role is going to be performing a ballet component of that. What are you going to be doing on the night?
They've asked me to do a classical solo. So I'm doing solo from Don Quixote, and it's Khichri, and I'm doing the wedding solo. So, yeah, and they've asked me to open the show for that, and be the Southeast ambassador for it and all that stuff. So yeah, it's really good.
So that's amazing. Not only were you called up out of the blue to perform, but you're also doing a solo. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait to get on the stage and do what I love doing.
Have you performed in front of such huge crowds before? Is it going to be a bit nerve-wracking?
Yeah, I've performed in front of like 2,000 people before, so it will definitely be nerve-wracking, because in that performance I was like, yeah, really nervous until I got on the stage and it just all goes away.
So you've already achieved so much in your life and you're only 17. Your list of achievements includes countless ballet award certificates, great results in dance exams, as well as being accepted into a handful of great ballet schools and different programs. But what for you is, out of all that list, what's your greatest achievement to date?
Just getting into the Washington Ballet School is just like the next step to my ballet career. So that's probably my greatest achievement yet.
When did all that come about, and when did you hear you were accepted?
I found out in March. I did a Youth American Grand Prix competition in New York. We drove down and I got into the ballet school down there. And yeah, it's really exciting when I found out. I was just like, oh my God, it's the next step, getting closer.
But of course, this opportunity doesn't come very cheap. I understand it's going to cost a lot of money in fees to get you over to the US to start with. I understand that your parents have been really gung-ho in fundraising for you. How's all that going?
Yeah, we're getting there. We're trying to find more sponsors and stuff to try and help, because it's going to cost a lot of money.
And so you must have a pretty good relationship with your parents for them to do all this for you, yeah?
Yeah, we're really, really close family, and I just love them for everything they've done for me. And I can't thank my brother enough. He goes without a lot just because of my ballet. We're trying to pay all this money, and I just love my family for what they've done for me, yeah.
But even though it costs so much, it's obviously really important to you. Why is it so important?
I just love being on the stage, performing in front of all of them people, just doing what I love. Yeah, I just get this feeling inside of me, and it's just like, oh, it's the best feeling.
Your goal is to be the world's first hearing impaired prima ballerina. When did you decide that that's what you wanted to, that was your ultimate goal?
It just came to me. I was just like, I've never heard of any other deaf ballerina who's been famous. And I'm just like, hey, I want to be that first deaf ballerina ever. Like, I want to be remembered and I want to help deaf people get, like, achieve their dream and any other person with a disability. And it just came to me.